Burke, you
as
said,
I say, I really feel you ought to get yourself some coffee or tea. I did offer to buy you all coffee and tea, but you declined my kind offer. But you've obviously already drunk lots of coffee or tea, and I wish you well. It's a very, very impressive bobble hat you're wearing there, or perhaps not a bobble hat, but a hat of sorts. Anyway, I'm sure people are so very grateful to you for showing such an interest at this time of the morning.
It's a very interesting story, Mr. Burke.
Very well done.
You said in January that Parliament can't rely on old precedents, Mr. Burke.
Careful, there are cars coming along here. I'm not going to sacrifice myself for your benefit. I know that you attach great weight to what you think, but perhaps you'd be kind enough to allow me to proceed.
How do you explain your decision?
Very good of you to do so.
Okay.
Very well done.
Lots of people are annoyed at this decision. What would you reply to that? Are you trying to delay Brexit? Postpone it? You said in January that Parliament can't only rely on precedent. This is a very old precedent. 17th century one. What made you choose to dig it up yesterday, Mr. Burke? Do you think it's the right decision? What next for Brexit, Mr. Burke?
Perhaps, gentlemen, you'd allow me to proceed to work. Thank you. And I wish you a good day. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Michael Malice here, Speaker of the House of Compound, with some nightshade for you to leave the European Union over. That was Speaker John Bercow of the House of Commons today being chastised and chased by a BBC reporter. And I thought it was interesting that he's getting such heat for it, for what he did yesterday. And not only that, the fact that he's walking around in this sweater. I can't remember the last time I've seen an American politician or even like a Supreme Court justice or someone in the cabinet just walking around that casually, especially when they have such a extremely prominent position and they are so much in the news that very day. It seems very odd and unusual, but it's a good thing in the UK that they have a little bit of contempt for those who would put themselves in the elite position, or in this case, at least, we're certainly put there by Parliament. Now, there's major breaking news today concerning Twitter and free speech and all the other stuff we like to cover here at the Free Speech Network and especially on this show. Now, this is from Fox News reporting. California Representative Devin Nunes filed a major lawsuit seeking, just like with Nicholas Sandman, The Washington Post, $250 million in compensatory damages and $350,000 in punitive damages. What the fuck? Okay. You owe me $250 million, and then for my pain and suffering, let's just call it $350,000. That makes sense. In punitive, if someone is getting punitive damages, I'm not a lawyer, despite my ethnicity, I would think punitive damages should be, in a sense, more than the compensatory damages, because it's like you did something really fucked up and you're getting punished for it. So, like, if you steal a candy bar and it's like a dollar, punitive damages might be like $10. So next time, you really better not steal the candy bar. It's not going to be a nickel, or in this case, not even the equivalent of a penny. And he also sued a handful of its users yesterday, accusing the social media site of shadow banning conservatives to secretly hide their posts, systematically censoring opposing viewpoints, and totally ignoring lawful complaints of repeated abusive behavior. Of course, this is not new to any of you guys, but having this be in a lawsuit with a member of Congress is no small deal. The complaint was filed in Virginia State Court yesterday. Nunes said Twitter wanted to derail his work on the House Intelligence Committee. He was the chair of that until earlier this year when the Democrats retook the House. And he looked into alleged and apparent surveillance abuses by the government. He said Twitter was guilty of, quote, knowingly hosting and monetizing content that is clearly abusive, hateful, and defamatory, providing both a voice and a financial incentive to the defamers, thereby facilitating defamation on its platform. The lawsuit alleged defamation, conspiracy, and negligence, as well as violations of the state's prohibition against, quote, insulting words. effectively fighting words that tend toward, quote, violence and breach of the peace. I wonder when that came into the law in Virginia. Must have been like really a long time ago. Them's fighting words. The complaint sought not only damages, but an injunction compelling Twitter to turn over the identities behind numerous accounts he said harassed and defamed him. I like the idea that he's fighting government surveillance and now is using the courts to find the names of trolls who tweeted at him. We're going to get into what those trolls did later in this article. Trust me, it's not exactly giving him seizures via GIF. He said, Twitter is a machine. This is from his attorney, Stephen Biss. It is a modern-day Tammany Hall. Congressman Nunes intends to hold Twitter fully accountable for its abusive behavior and misconduct. Now, as I talked with Gavin McInges' attorney, Ron Coleman, federal law ordinarily exempts services like Twitter from defamation liability at all levels. His suit says the platform has taken such an active role in curating and banning content as opposed to merely hosting it, that it should face liability like any other organization that defames. I have not heard this argument before, and I think that is a very clever one and a thought-provoking one. Because if you're saying, okay, you are actively controlling the conversation here, and therefore, by actively controlling, you're at least tacitly allowing all these, whatever you want to call them, you know, negative actors, they would say trolls, I'm sure. That would not be the correct use of the word. Therefore, you have to be held responsible, kind of like if there's a bar fight, maybe you'd be able to sue the bar because the bouncer didn't keep you safe. There's something to this to think about, and I haven't thought about before. He says, Twitter created and developed the content at issue in this case by transforming false accusations of criminal conduct, imputed wrongdoing, dishonesty, and lack of integrity into a publicly available commodity used by unscrupulous political operatives and their donors/clients as a weapon. Twitter is responsible is in quotes, I'm sure for legal reasons, for the development of offensive content on its platform because it in some way specifically encourages development of what is offensive about the content. I have no idea what that means. That's lawyer talk. So that we'll leave that for Ron. The lawsuit, separate from his work on the House Intelligence Committee, where he's now the ranking member, to prove his charge, he's a public figure. And public figures have to meet a higher standard than a private individual. Essentially, that the defendants acted intentionally or recklessly with respect to the provable falsity of their posts rather than merely negligently. Now, the complaint also maintains that Twitter has a duty to exercise reasonable care to avoid hosting outwardly defamatory content because of its increasingly important role in current affairs. As he put it, access to Twitter is essential for meaningful participation in modern-day American democracy. Is that? I wonder if that's actually if I would agree with that statement. It's certainly not false on its face. There's certainly something there. A candidate without Twitter is a losing candidate. Frankly, if you're on Twitter, you're losing. I just broke 55,000 followers today. I assure you, you're losing if you're on Twitter. I promise. As sure as I'm positive that this is a meteorite co-hosting my show, I promise if you're on Twitter, you're a loser. The ability to use Twitter is a vital part of modern citizenship. The ability, he says, not the use. Okay. A presence on Twitter is essential for an individual to run for office or engage in any level of political organizing in modern America. This is because Twitter is not merely a website. It is the modern town square. Twitter is equivalent to the private owner of a public forum who has fully opened its property to the general public for purposes of permitting the public's free expression and debate. That is, in fact, what Twitter has always claimed to be. Jack Dorsey, Twitter's CEO, has previously testified for Congress that his platform is a kind of digital public square, although he insists that Twitter, as a private company, retains the right to censor speech. In large part of Twitter's actions, Nunes, quote, endured an orchestrated defamation campaign of stunning breadth and scope, one that no human being should ever have to bear, oh, relax, and suffer in their whole life in the past year. Oh, what a bitch. There have been people who really had shit done to them on Twitter. Devin Nunes is not one of them. The complaint also named, here's the thing. specific Twitter accounts that allegedly spread defamatory material. One defendant, Liz Mayer, at Liz Mayer, I think is her name, purportedly published tweets that, quote, implied that Nunes colluded with prostitutes and cocaine addicts, that Nunes does cocaine, and that Nunes was involved in a Russian money laundering front. The complaint quotes a June 22nd, 2018 tweet from Mayer, and the tweet goes, scroll up a little bit, the tweet goes as follows, quote, to be fair, this is her talking on Twitter, I think that the Fresno Bee writing on your investment in a winery that allegedly used underage hookers to solicit investment, an allegation you've known about for years, during which you've stayed invested in it, I might add, did surprise you. There's nothing you can. There's nothing defamatory about that. She said allegedly twice, and she said this is to say there's a rumor going on around you and that you know about this rumor. I'm sorry, I don't even see how that passes the sniff test. The complaint, this is where it gets good. The complaint also named Devin Nunes' mom. That's in quotes. As, quote, a person who, with Twitter's consent, hijacked Nunes' name, falsely impersonated his mom, and created and maintained an account on Twitter at Devin Nunes' mom for the sole purpose of attacking, defaming, disparaging, and demeaning Nunes. This goes back to the Larry Flint case. And Larry Flint had this whole thing about Jerry Falwell, I believe it was, fucking his sister or his mom. And they found it in favor of Larry Flint because it was clearly satirical. This is some bullshit. His lawyers wrote in her, they don't know it's a woman, in her endless barrage of tweets, Devin Nunes' mom. I just love how this is written. Like, some lawyer had to sit down and say, all right. In her endless barrage of tweets, Devin Nunes' mom maliciously attacked every aspect of Nunes' character, honesty, integrity, ethics, and fitness to perform his duties as a United States congressman. Well, mother knows best, and she ought to know. One tweet from the complaint, from the account, contained a crude drawing of Putin, President Trump, and Nunes in a physically linked, symbiotic arrangement like the characters in the horror film The Human Centipede. Let me repeat this paragraph. Don't scroll down yet. Scroll to the top. From Fox News. This is where we are. This is an article from Fox News. One tweet from the account, cited by the complaint, contained a crude drawing of Putin, President Trump, and Nunes in a physically linked, symbiotic arrangement like the characters in the horror film The Human Centipede. We're at a point where even Fox is talking about people shitting in each other's mouths on the internet. That, my friends, is real freedom. This is why I came to this country, so I could see things like this. The complaint goes on to allege that the account gave factually false and defamatory information mixed in with impermissibly, quote-unquote, insulting fighting words. Devin Nunes' mom stated that Nunes had turned out worse than Jacob Wall. That's not true! That's defamation! He turned out exactly as bad! Devin Nunes' mom stated that Nunes had turned out worse than Jacob Wall. I want to file a lawsuit. My mom says I turned out worse than Jacob Wall. Sir, we're right on it. Falsely accused Nunes of being a racist. I like how that's number two. Number one, turned out worse than Jacob Wall. Two, racist. Three, having white supremacist friends. It was a typo. And four, distributing disturbing inflammatory racial propaganda, falsely accused Nunes of putting up a fake news MAGA sign outside a Texas Holocaust Museum. Wait, let me say that again. The account accused Nunes of putting up a fake news MAGA sign outside of a Texas Holocaust Museum. Falsely stated that Nunes would probably join the Proud Boys if it weren't for that unfortunate no masturbating rule. This is all from Fox. Disparagingly calling him a, quote, presidential fluffer and swamp rat. Falsely stated that Nunes has, quote, brought shame to his family. Repeatedly accused Nunes of the crime of treason, comparing him to Benedict Arnold, and called him a traitor. The best part is, you know, he's in his office looking at all this shit and like Human Centipede and having me like, all right, what the fuck's this? Oh, God. Well, I hope I'm the, oh, I am in the middle. That's the worst one. As of Monday afternoon, the Devin Nunes' mom account was suspended by Twitter. The complaint stated that Twitter only suspended the account in 2019 after Nunes' real mother, Tony Nunes, complained. Well, in all fairness, if you're trying to impersonate it, first of all, I'm sure it's clearly satirical. If you're trying to impersonate someone, you don't really get to complain if you have somebody else. Twitter permitted at Devin Nunes' mom, for instance, to tweet and retweet with impunity. Oh my God, throughout 2018, it allowed an account to tweet? That's what country do we live in that someone could be on Twitter and tweet and retweet using the site's own functionality?
It's just horrible.
It's horrible. What they should be doing is posting Instagram photos on Twitter. That's what Twitter's for, with punity. However, according to the complaint, Twitter did nothing to investigate or review the defamation that appeared in plain view. Twitter consciously allowed the defamation of Nunes to continue, despite reports and purported reviews by Twitter's content moderators. The idea that any politician is like beyond this, you can go back to when America was founded, when talking about Aaron Burr was fucking his daughter. I mean, and how many times have we seen political cartoons where the person is caricatured beyond recognition? I mean, this is part and parcel of American history. It says, as part of its agenda to squelch Nunes' voice, cause him extreme pain and suffering, influence the 2018 congressional election. That's a big one. That's a big one. That's the one they should focus on. And distract, intimidate, and interfere with Nunes' investigation into corruption, Russia involvement. Twitter did absolutely nothing, the complaint stated. Another account is even more. I love this shit. Named the defendant as Devin Nunes' cow, or at Devin Cow, which purportedly called Nunes a treasonous cowpoke and an utterly worthless criminal. Utterly. The at Devin Nunes mom account also falsely stated that Nunes was unfit to run the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. How is that defamatory? How many, literally every day, the president is, every president, certainly said about Obama, Bush, Clinton, Trump, this person is unfit to be president. You hear it every day. That's not defamatory. It says it falsely stated that Nunes was voted, quote, most likely to commit treason in high school. That's not true. He came in third. The timing and substance of the tweets suggested that Liz Mayer was working jointly with Devin Cow and Devin Nunes' mom accounts. Why? Because they're all clowning him at once? Mayer's LinkedIn profile, the complaint notes, contains the boast, what do I do for my clients? Anonymously smear their opposition on the internet. In response to the lawsuit, the @DevinCow account, which was still active as of yesterday evening, posted numerous tweets mocking Nunes. Quote, I'm not quitting my day job, one read. The complaint also charges that Twitter shadow banned Nunes in 2018 in order to restrict his free speech and amplify the abusive content published and republished by Mayer, Devin Nunes' mom, and other accounts. And a shadow banned user, as you guys know, can see his own tweets, but others may not be able to access them easily or at all. This is amazing stuff. I'll be following this in the weeks to come. I'm sure this is going to tie in very heavily with what's going on. Oh, there's more. The shadow banning was intentional. It was calculated to interfere with, influence the federal election, interfere with Nunes' ongoing investigation as a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Twitter's actions affected the election results. Here's the thing. I mean, this is just why I don't know who this guy is. I haven't been familiar with him at all. If you ask the average person who's at all interested in politics, which of these do you have more of an issue with? That a politician is drawn in the middle of a human centipede and there's an account impersonating his mom? Or his tweets are being hidden and he can't reach the voters? This is not even close. And I'm an anarchist. So for him to be focused on his butthurt, possibly literally, and not be focused on you're interfering with elections, something that affects all of us, that to me is insane and also makes the case look that much weaker, because now it just seems like your feelings are hurt as opposed to this is a clear and ongoing threat to our democracy, as he would put it, I'm sure. What $250 million? Fuck out of here. Listen, let me tell you something. If you gave me $1 million, I would be in the middle of a human centipede, and I'm sure most of us would. $250? No, thank you. All right, let's move on to, we've got this great video. I want to actually go on to the last video we have, Kristen Gillibrand. There's two videos there, right? So Kristen Gillibrand, senator from New York, is running for president. Now, she is a, I don't like to use this word loosely, but I think she is a bit of a sociopath. Today, she was tweeting out that she's going to make it harder for people to get their pain medication because there's an opioid crisis. Because, of course, the only people who should have the ability to distribute pain medication are street thugs. And, of course, if you're on severe pain, you should be having to have as many doctor's visits as possible because it's really easy for you to do things. That's what pain means. I'm going to take a little clip from the show Veep, a 30-second clip, and I'm sorry for the quality of the video. It's the best I could find. And just watch this 20 seconds as Selina Meyer, then vice president, is faced with a couple of refugees who made their way to America.
Take two. I'm so sorry I went away, but now I'm back.
Fadi and Alita, they've had a terrible time.
They just arrived a month ago.
At the Rye Harbor.
Oh, Rye Harbor. Oh, that's lovely. So you had a safe arrival, which means that Lady Luck was with you.
Our journey was like a horrible dream.
At one time we hid in a well for 5 days.
Oh, good Lord. Well.
Okay, yeah, that's enough. So now watch that. You can see Selina Meyer is sitting there being like, oh, fuck, why am I talking to these people? It's depressing. Trying to make conversation. She's like trying to keep it light, right? At the same time, going through her head, if you watch the show, she's like, oh, my God, get me the fuck out of here. I don't care about these people. Now watch Kristen Gillibrand in this town hall talking to this school teacher wearing a wooden bow tie, something I have bought, that same bow tie, and I've never worn. And the look on her face, and I'm going to tell you to pause. When the guy starts reading the poem, pause it, because the look on her face, it's exactly the same. Watch this shit.
I'm pressing the button. It's
Spanish is my second language. And as a National Board Certified teacher, I'm aware.
Watch her face.
The role that teachers play as leaders. I also was recently in El Paso, Texas, and I'm happy to report that the only crisis on our border has been manufactured by this administration.
True fact.
Oh, wow, that's terrible. Look at this guy. Look what he's wearing.
Called Teachers Against Child Detention, and my colleague Amy Hewitt Alatunde teaches refugees and immigrants in St. Paul, Minnesota. One of her students wrote this poem. I want to read it to you. She's from El Salvador. She says there was nowhere else to go but here.
Pause it. I said pause it when he starts the poem.
School to danger. No friends to danger. No life to danger.
Los pintados, the painted ones.
You can't hit pause.
I'm pressing it, but it's taking a second. Then when it takes, you know, it's
Look at her. She's like, holy shit. How long is this poem going to go? She's looking at that page. How long is this fucking poem going to go on for? I'm here. Look at the guy behind. Look at the guy behind her in the middle. Look at that guy. Like, what the fuck is this shit? She's running for president. She thinks she's going to be a big shot. Some douche in a green blazer, blue shirt and a wooden bow tie is running. He's like, oh, I have this poem I'd like to read to you. And she just is looking at that piece of paper being like, holy fucking shit, this is my life.
She looks how we feel about it.
I want to have my finger on the nuclear button. I want to run America and somewhat the world. And this is what my life has become. Play some more of this nonsense.
Mario, too much danger. They rape. They kill. Girls have no chance. There was nowhere else to go.
Oh, it's so terrible. Pause.
So the refugees that come to our southern border.
They rape, they kill. You know, I know human beings are supposed to react to being told about rape and killing, but you're not pausing to allow me to mimic human emotion. So I don't really know what to do except make a little frowny face. Can you rewind it like another 10 seconds? I know it's tough. Look at that little frowny face she makes when he's talking about raping and killing. She's like, oh man, that's really bad. Okay, yeah.
There was nowhere else to go but here. No school to danger. No friends to danger. No life to danger. Los pintados, the painted ones, in the barrio, too much danger.
Barrio?
They rape, they kill.
Oh, that's bad.
Girls have no chance.
She's more upset by the bad poetry. So look at her. She's like, okay, what the fuck do you want me to do? Like these fucking people from some country I don't care about are coming here. They don't have schools. They're getting raped. And yeah, but she's like, you know what? I know what it feels like to be raped. Just listening to you rape my ears. My God, what a stone. And there's that guy in the background. What a stone cold sociopath. Holy shit. Okay, I want to get to the Ted Koppel thing. So Ted Koppel, ABC News veteran anchor, slipped between the cracks, but I think it's very important. He had a discussion with Marvin Kalb at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace on March 7th. And he came out. Why wouldn't you put like Brian Jennings?
Because I was poking up a picture of Ted Koppel and I thought he looked just like Bill Gates.
But he doesn't wear glasses.
I'm sticking with it.
Can you pull up a picture of Ted Koppel? I don't see the resemblance. The point is they have to have something in common. Not that they vaguely look alike, but they don't even look alike. Anyway, this is what he said. This is an ABC News anchor for many years. He goes, I'm terribly concerned that when you talk about the New York Times these days, when you talk about the Washington Post these days, we're not talking about the New York Times 50 years ago. We're not talking about the Washington Post of 50 years ago. We're talking about organizations that I believe have, in fact, decided as organizations that Donald Trump is bad for the United States. We have things... You think they look alike?
It was my first instinct, and I was moving quickly.
Okay. We have things appearing on the front page of the New York Times right now that would never have appeared 50 years ago. Analysis, commentary on the front page. I remember sitting at the breakfast table with my wife during the campaign after the Access Hollywood tape came out at the New York Times, and I will not offend any of you here by using the language, but you know exactly what words were used, and they were spelled out on the front page of the New York Times. Well, what do you want them to do? To bleep it? I mean, it's also the first time a presidential candidate was using such words. I mean, that you have to take the side of the New York Times on. He goes, I turned to my wife and I said that the Times is absolutely committed to making sure this guy does not get elected. Whoa. Holy shit. If you're going to attack the Times, the fact that a tape leaks of a presidential candidate talking about grabbing women by the pussy and they let you, but sure, he says he's grabbing women by the pussy. You want them to pretend it's not happening, and especially in a social media context? That's crazy. So his perception that the establishment press is out to get him doesn't mean that great journalism is not being done. It is. But the notion that most of us look upon Donald Trump as being an absolute fiasco, he's not mistaken in that perception. And he's not mistaken when so many of the liberal media, for example, describe themselves as belonging to the resistance. What does that mean? That's not said by people who consider themselves as reporters, objective reporters of facts. That's the kind of language that's used by people who genuinely, and I rather suspect with some justification, believe that Donald Trump is bad for the United States, and they're betting that the sooner he's out of office, the better they will like it. Whether that happens by virtue of indictment, impeachment, or election, we'll see. But I disagree with you, Marvin. We are not the reservoir objectivity that I think we were. I don't understand how reporting on the Access Hollywood tape is not objective. If you're saying a tape was released and this is what the candidate was on tape saying, that is the definition of objectivity. And in fact, I don't think there's anything you need to do to frame that tape. They do frame it by saying he assaulted women. His point is that they let you. Fine. The point is, it was really out there to the point that a rumor had it that Pence was ready to walk from the ticket and people were telling him to step down. I think Paul Ryan behind the scenes. Okay, the last thing is Meghan McCain on The View. She went on this big tear about Trump over the weekend, and it bears a little bit of watching. Let's play some of this. Okay, we're gonna clear these next time with me. Okay, let's play with Meghan. What is she even holding? What is that? Is that a phone?
You responded and said, no one will ever love you the way they loved my father.
Look at this. Look, Saturdays, apostrophe S. She must be a fan of You're Welcome. She put the apostrophe after Saturdays. That's amazing. Okay, go ahead.
I wish I had been given more Saturdays with him. Maybe spend yours with your family instead of on Twitter obsessing over mine. And I thought,
Sonny,
that's how you do this.
Except nobody in his family wants to spend time with him. That's the only...
So pause it. That's ridiculous. First of all, his kids, except for the girl whose name I'm blanking, Tiffany, Ivanka, hardcore on the campaign trail for him. Don Jr., all over his stuff. Eric, is a campaign surrogate. Jared Kushner, not his son-in-law, he's all over. And Lara Trump's also on the news all the time. This idea that no one in his family wants to spend time with him. Hillary, during that debate where he said she'd be in jail, when she was asked what she likes about Trump, she said, I like his family. They're very obviously care about each other a lot. And it's a mixed family. Let's keep that in mind. So the idea that no one wants to spend time with him, what is she even talking about? This old crone, number one. Number two is no one will ever love you. I mean, sure, I get that you're ticked that he's gone after your dad in such nasty ways, but he's not like an incel. I mean, the guy fucks porn stars and then they brag about it. So if you're talking about the population, President Trump is a lot more popular with certain aspects of the Republican base than John McCain ever was. So at the same time, what are you going to hit him with? Keep going.
1 second. The video is just having a hard time.
Okay. It's this real clear politics player?
Yeah. There's usually a problem with them. But that's okay because we're back.
That's the only problem. Well, I appreciate it with all. It's uncomfortable for everyone because it's obviously about my father and I'm your co-host and I really appreciate these wonderful words. Listen, he spends his weekend obsessing over great men because he knows it and I know it and all of you know it. Mm-hmm. He will never be a great man.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And so my father was his kryptonite in life. Yeah. He's his kryptonite in death.
Pause it. Okay, we're going to leave on that note. She said, my father was his kryptonite in life and his kryptonite in death. First of all, if that were true, when candidate Trump went after McCain, he would have lost. But that's not what happened. They went toe-to-toe and he got the nomination and the presidency, number one. And as I had to point out on Twitter, kryptonite only works against Superman. So if you're saying someone is your kryptonite, that means he's Superman. So on that note, actually, I will see you all tomorrow night. And until then, sweet dreams.
You look familiar. You must have a television.